This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And I pray, God, that we would hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, help us to not only hear your words, but Lord, help us to be like the wise person who built his house on the rock, which is hears the words and begins to practice and live them out, doers of the word. Lord, help us not to be like the foolish man who hears the word and he builds his house on the sand. And when the winds come and the wind blows and the waves come, Lord, that house will come down because that person didn't do what the Spirit was directing them. So help us to be not only good hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We have other people preaching from week to week. Next week, we have our very own Ross. Woo! Yeah. And so it's the 4th of July weekend, so I figured he couldn't make that much damage, so a lot of people would be gone. I'm just kidding. I said that to him last year, and it was like we had a huge turnout when I thought people were going to be gone. So that's what we're expecting next week. But thank you, Ross, for stepping up. And I believe Patrick is after that. Patrick, yeah. On the way home, I listened to Handle on the Law. So that's what, you know, maybe we'll listen to some sort of, I'm just messing with Patrick. Hey, so I did preach about 3 weeks ago on the Beatitudes on Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, but I think we're going to post it up there, Matthew chapter 5. And this is very important. This is Jesus' really first sermon. And it tells us that Jesus sat down and began to teach his disciples. Now, that's what a rabbi does when he wants to teach. He doesn't stand up like I'm doing right now, but he'll sit down and teach those who are his followers. And a rabbi, a disciple of a rabbi, they hear what he's doing and they listen and they do it. They do what the rabbi does. So I imagine, is the scripture up in Matthew chapter 5? There. So it says there, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we talked about that last time. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about how it doesn't mean financial poverty. Amen? I say so. James Gutierrez is not here, but I grew up pretty poor, but I'm willing to admit that he grew up more poor than me. So barely, but yes, he did. And so I joked around. I didn't have a dryer ever growing up. I had to dry my clothes outside. Anybody else just dry their clothes outside? A few of you. That's because you're older. One time I only had two pairs. I'm sure somebody's heard this story. I had two pairs of pants. That's how poor we were. And one of them was a corduroy jeans. You remember corduroy? I'm praying that they'll come back. And so, I washed my jeans, my corduroy jeans, and we didn't have a dryer. So I did the best thing you could do is use an electric heater that you do for winter, you know, plug in electric heater. And I put it over a little metal chair that we had, and I made a mistake and I fell asleep. And the next thing I'm awakened by my brother yelling fire. And so my corduroy pants caught fire. But James has had it worse than me. But we're not talking about that poverty, but it's an attitude, what I would call a posture of humility. I showed a picture last time of a person begging outside a cathedral. I've seen that with my own eyes of people begging outside of a cathedral in Quito, Ecuador, and Bogota, Colombia. Almost any place I go, when I go visit these beautiful cathedrals, there are people out there who are begging. But one caught my eye was this person couldn't lift their head up. I mean, they could, but they didn't. They were so maybe self-aware of their poverty that they just kept their head down, and the only thing they could do was extend their hand for some sort of blessing. And I will tell you, extending your hand is not a works. Okay, so that's maybe you understand that language. But so Jesus, I believe, is telling us, his disciples, that we have to have that posture. It's not that I come to the table with, like, you know, the miracle is not that I found God. The miracle is that he found me. You know, I always use the example of dumpster diving, and Ross had the opportunity to dumpster dive a couple weeks ago. And I was very looking for somebody's retainer, okay? But he was kind enough to help. But what I really appreciated is that when he was dumpster diving, he recalled, you know, me always saying, that's what the Lord had to do. He had a dumpster dive to find me because I was living in filth, and he found me. And so very much like that that posture of poverty is, Lord, I have nothing to offer except my life. So blessed are the poor in spirit. They recognize that they're poor, spiritually poor. For who? What will be theirs? Theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. One of our biggest challenges in the West, and I would say in America, is that people don't see themselves that way. But I'm telling you, all of us are lost. All have fallen short. Amen? Now, my wife, she was lost as much as I was, but her lostness was a little bit different. We joke around. I don't joke around, but we've laughed about it in the past. But, you know, Robin grew up a beautiful young lady, fear of the Lord. I always joke around that the worst thing that Robin ever did growing up was put gum under the pew. And so, as a little kid. And so, somehow I ended up with her and she ended up with me. But the Lord had to do some dumpster diving to find me. So that posture of poverty, Lord, I have nothing to offer but my hand. And I extend my hand and, Lord, thank you. And he sees that hand in that filth of that dumpster and he pulled me out. So I'm so grateful. Now we're going to move on to the next verse, which is, blessed are those who mourn. Which is very interesting because this morning I started the service was, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Somebody said that in our prayer time with the band. And we like to sing things of rejoicing. Amen. And we have lots to rejoice. But let me tell you this verse here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's so counterculture for anyone to preach this message. Our culture says, find joy, find happiness, do whatever you can to find happiness. And here Jesus being, I think, even more so today, being counterculture. And he says, blessed are those who mourn. Now, before I get too far ahead of myself, I don't know if, I imagine all of you have been following Jesus for some time. Has there ever been a time where you have wandered away from the truth, from Jesus, in your journey? I know I have. And so the question I have for you to answer yourself is, like, what brought you back? What brought you back when you wandered off? What brought you back? Can you recall when you had a great sense of brokenness because of your sinfulness? Can you recall that? I can. And that's the beauty of this passage. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. I recall a time where I had a great sense of brokenness. There was a time, I don't share this too often, because it was definitely a dark day in my life where I literally contemplated, like, should I just go ahead and end my life? I was in the hills of North Carolina attending Western Carolina. And if you've ever been to the Carolinas, you know the highways. And I just thought, a brief moment, what would it be like? Maybe I should just end this as a 20-year-old kid. And then somehow, by God's grace, and he went dumpster diving, I experienced this awesomeness of God's forgiveness. And I was aware of the cost. Micah, I believe, is downstairs teaching class, but a few weeks ago, he talked about the cost of Jesus. What did it cost Jesus? So this morning, I want to talk to you about this second verse. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, last time I defined what means the word, what does the word blessed mean? And it doesn't, it just basically means that God's approval or his smile, he's smiling on you. When we have that posture of poverty, and then we have the spirit of mourning, which is so counterculture. And so we already know that blessed means that God's approval smile on his children. Kind of like what I already shared when I saw my one of my grandchildren recite the Apostles' Creed on the video. I mean, I was smiling. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. And that's what that kind of God's smile, when we have that posture of humility and that we have that contrite heart. Now, it doesn't mean someone is a Debbie Downer. I'm sorry for the reference. I bet you half of you do not know what Debbie Downer is. And raise your hand if you do not know what it is. All right, some of you do know. Okay, so good. It's an 80s reference, 90 reference. But God's not talking about Debbie Downers. God is not pronouncing a blessing on those who are negative people. We're not talking about when you're going through a tough time. That's not what this is about. It's really talking about sin. It's mourning about sin. Blessed are the poor, a posture of need. I need Jesus every day. I know that may be hard to hear as your pastor, but I need him every single day. Not only did I get saved, but he continues to save me and sanctify me. Maybe sometimes I forget how much more sanctification I need. If you need to, you'll see it when I have to load a motorcycle on top of a truck. You'll know that I still need some refinement before the Lord. I need Jesus every day. So blessed are the poor in spirit, a posture of humility and need. When I found that the closer I am to Jesus, because of his love and his mercy, he begins to reveal some, what I call the dark crevices of my heart. Not the obvious, but the dark crevices. It's like a tooth decay that's hidden in there. And that's the thing about the Beatitudes, these passages. It's like getting an x-ray or an MRI. It's going to expose our lives. It's going to expose our hearts. So before we get into what Jesus meant, I want to build on the word mourn. It's a deep sadness, a deep sorrow. And as I said in the beginning, we live in a world where we have made an idol out of happiness, which happiness is really circumstantial. And so the Lord is calling his disciples, and we are his disciples years later. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, that we need to transform and pattern our lives after the word of God and not this world and the culture of this world. So spiritual mourning is not a suggestion. Now, I did not ask Bryce to sing that fourth song. Matter of fact, I haven't had a chance to talk to him this week, but the Lord orchestrated that beautiful song, and we're going to ask him in a minute to come on up. The last 5 years, many of us have experienced something very similar than what I experienced. 5 years ago, my dad passed away. And I remember thinking that was, it shook me. If you talk to my family, actually we haven't talked about it too much. But I remember I literally was in shock. I was like in a fog when I heard that my dad passed away. And then 3 years ago, my father-in-law passed away. And some of you have experienced loss, very similar to what I have experienced. And I know that, I think I can speak for all of us, when those that event happened, sadness kind of just overwhelmed us. I don't mean to call out John Mark, but he's around here somewhere. But I remember one Father's Day, soon after his dad passed away, he came up to me and patted me on the back and says, "How are you doing?" Because now we are both in the same boat. We both lost our dads. And I appreciate that. And so it's a deep sadness. And the reason it's sad, at least I'll say this from my perspective, is I lost a relationship. It's a relationship lost. And I did struggle after my dad died. Now, I inherited his truck. It's in the back. It's the truck I drive around in. That was his truck. And when I got the truck, I didn't recognize how messy my dad was, but he was pretty messy. And I think I have the same genetic DNA in my truck. But there was something unique about that truck. It's one of the reasons I'm holding on to the truck, is that my dad's truck had his fingerprints literally all over the inside of the windshield. You know, he would just kind of clear off the fog with his hand. And I remember getting the truck and I could see the oily prints. And I thought to myself, I don't ever want to wash this windshield. And it took me 2 years before I finally washed the windshield. Why? Because it represented a relationship that I had, but now it's lost. I finally cleaned the glass, and I do keep the car messy and keeping the spirit for my dad. But I didn't miss. Just like a week ago, I remember, my dad's been gone for 5 years, and I literally thought for a moment, like, I'll call him, you know, and I can't call him. I can no longer chat with him. Well, actually, when I would call him, he would talk to me. It was a one-way conversation, typically. But I recognized that the relationship on this side of eternity was no longer available. And I would say the same with my father-in-law. I used to love teasing him about the Vikings, but more teasing him about the Ohio Buckeyes. We have some Ohio Buckeye fans here, but about 6-8 months ago, there was a guest here, and I made some derogatory comment about the Buckeyes, and little did I know, here's our first-time guest, and she's a Buckeye, so I won't do that. But I used to give him a hard time about the Buckeyes, but that moment is gone. And I know many of you have experienced something similar. You've lost that relationship. And so let's go back to the Beatitudes. And like I said, the Beatitudes are like an MRI. And Jesus is sitting and he's teaching his disciples, "Blessed are those who mourn." Why? Because we mourn the loss of relationship with God. Sin separates us. And we need to take it seriously. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Comforted how? And we'll answer that at the end. God does not want us to fall into the depths of despair of sin, but be quick to repent and mourn for our own sins. And I think, Eric, you alluded to it in our intermission time. I believe also this passage, Jesus is wanting to mourn for others who are imprisoned, who are, I would like to use the word, sequestered, seized by sin. It's so easy to get angry at people, those sinners, or even worse, laugh at them, or even worse, indifference. You don't care. And Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that you can't be indifferent. Anger is not what he doesn't say, blessed are those who get angry, those who mourn. There's a difference between sad and mad. And Jesus is challenging his disciples and us to mourn, to be sad when we see people acting in ways that are contrary to God's plan because of the loss of relationship. There's a very famous story. I don't know if we have that passage. John chapter 8. Did we do that, Natalie? Is that a thumbs up? Because I can't see. Okay, yes. Well, let me read it to you, and then we're gonna transition fast. Chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus went down to the Mount of Olives, at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said this to Jesus. Teacher, this woman was caught in an act of adultery, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older one first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they now? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she replied. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. What he doesn't really say, stop doing that. He says, go and leave your life of sin. Because he knows that sin separates. It's not the stopping is the goal. It's the reconciliation through Jesus. So Jesus sees what we sometimes do not see. He sees that her behavior is symptomatic of something more profound. She had a deep rebellion against God. And so Jesus is telling her to leave that life of rebellion and repent. Matthew chapter 23, 37, Jesus mourns over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but yet you're not willing. And why? Because Jesus mourns for the loss of relationship. This woman that we talked about, her heart was hardened. But she needed Jesus so it would be softened through brokenness, that's the spirit of humility, so she can come to him in faith. And Jesus is challenging you and me to have this heart. When we see others, when we see someone living in sin, it should break our hearts. That should be our response. We should be sad. We shouldn't be people that hope they get what they deserve. You know, have you ever watched those videos, like people do something and, you know, the next thing you know, they're getting pulled over by the cops. There's that spirit in all of us, at least maybe me, like, I'm glad they got it. coming to them. But we got to be careful. And that's something light, and I get it can be trivial, but man, let's have that heart of mourning. I can't think of ever having a service, a special service. Let's like, tonight we're going to have a mourning service. You know, come at 6 o'clock so we can mourn. It's just a counterculture to us. But let's mourn for the loss. I guarantee you have people in your life that are lost. And I pray that indifference, and boy, that's a big thing for me. You know, I've had family members that, you know, if those of you from South America, you know what this is like. You know, all of a sudden you have family members you didn't know about because they know you live in the States, and somehow they got your WhatsApp number, you know, and they need something. And so I've got some cousins I didn't know existed, but they somehow found me. And so I don't want to be indifferent. Not that I have to bail them out, but Lord, just begin to pray for them. And my heart breaks for them that they don't know you. They think somehow getting some dollars is going to solve their real deep issues. Got to be careful that our anger doesn't lead us into sin. Let's be a people at Mosaic Church that mourn for the lost. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I believe Jesus meets us in a special way when we mourn for those who are not in the fold. They're outside and they're lost without a shepherd. So the question I have as we wrap it up, we need to mourn the things that break the Lord's heart. There was an old song that we used to sing, "Break my heart with what breaks yours." If we do mourn, I believe Jesus tells us that he will comfort us. Again, the story about my dad was about the lost relationship. And that's what sin does. I have family members that desperately need Jesus. And so I'm going to ask our band to come on up. I know it's a little late, but we're going to sing this song, and I'd like for us to just, and Eric, you alluded to it, if there's something in your own heart, make it right, because there's that the lostness of a relationship. But if you know someone who desperately needs Jesus, a loved one, a family member, I'd like for us to just take a moment while we sing and pray for them. Amen. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're going to say, "Pastor Mario, I have a family member that I'm going to weep before the Lord for them on their behalf." That's you, just raise your hand. Yes. Amen. My hand's up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're living in sin and you know you haven't made things right through repentance. But you know it. And let me just tell you, there's a loss. And Jesus is calling you to come back to him. The Bible tells us that, and Jesus tells us that if we mourn, Jesus, God himself will comfort us with forgiveness and relationship. Let's go to him today. And make those who hear his word build his house on the rock. Let's not only hear those words, but let's act it out. And spend some time this week in the spirit of mourning for those that we know who are far from you. Someone coined the lost lambs of God. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Help me. Lord, help me to not align myself with the patterns of this world. Lord, to get mad at people and have attitudes of those people. Lord, help me have the spirit of Jesus and mourn for those who are living rebellious, who are in desperate need of Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll sing a song, and then we'll end our service.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.